And the greatness of singing is the very message of what we've sung. To hear this great new song, to go to this place where we call it heaven, and to denote the fact that you have eternal life there and that all the spiritual blessings that are in heavenly places in Christ are yours. I want you to take your Bible. We're going to do a word study this morning of a statement that is made in Romans 16 and verse 10. It is mentioned of a man who is only, this is the only time in the Bible this man's name is mentioned. It says, "Salute Apelles," and then it says, "Approved in Christ," and then it says, "And salute all the house of the family of the household of Aristobulus." So what you have here is a phrase with attached to a particular man. He is among the long listing of names in Romans 16 to illustrate, what do you mean by churches of Christ? Who are these people? Well, here are individual names that are listed in Paul's book to the Romans. So he's talking about a particular person, and he calls him approved in Christ. So that caught my attention in this particular passage, and I thought, let's look up this word, approved. And when I did, I went to Thayer's lexicon, and I found that it means to be accepted. Especially was it true with reference to coins and metals. As you would put them through the fire, you put them through the test, and the product that came out with what you would be called accepted, or it's now approved. I found also in this study, if you go back and look at the word, even as it's found in the Septuagint in the Old Testament, this term is used at least 40 different passages. Romans 16 and verse 10 is not just the first, it's not the first, but it's not just one of the many passages. There's 40 times this word has reference to something that is accepted or approved. Now, obviously, it can be used in a secular sense. And let me give you some examples of that. Some everyday examples. For example, a banker will use this particular term. If you're going in for a loan, and then the banker asks you, what collateral do you have, and what's your, history, credit history, and so forth. And then if you say, your loan is approved. Well, that's the meaning of this word, approved, accepted. In other words, the bank has accepted the terms and the conditions by which now to allow you to borrow the money. And then you have the idea of a chef or a cook. Let's say they're cooking a very complicated meal, a pot of stew or soup of some sort. And what the cook will do every once in a while is take a spoon and will dip down in that and taste it every once in a while to see if it meets the expectation of the cook. You can have a recipe and you can go through all the steps of the recipe and all the ingredients. And why is it that some people can use the same recipe and it doesn't taste the same as somebody else is using the same recipe and it tastes totally different? Well, it has to do with the sense of which the cook knows this versus the inexperienced knows this over here. So the idea is, after the cook has made that last taste, it's like it's finished, it's ready to serve. What does that mean? It means approved. It's now acceptable by which to serve the customer. Also, you'll find it in people at work in what's called quality control. In other words, here's a product that's being made, and it goes through an assembly line, and finally it comes to the Inspector 7 or Inspector 12 or whatever. And the idea is, if it doesn't meet the approval of this inspector, it doesn't go on the market. It doesn't go out, because that's a reflection on the company. It's a reflection on the product itself. Okay? As a matter of fact, how many of you remember the old movies where the prospector would go into the hills and he would mine for gold or silver or whatever, and then he would come back and he'd weigh that on a scale, and they would give him a certain amount of money. Literally, it'd be coinage. It wouldn't be paper money necessarily. And you remember, he'd take the coin and he'd put it in his teeth. He'd bite down on it. Now, why did he do that? Bite down on it. Well, that's to see if it's genuine. How many of you have ever heard the expression, cold, hard cash? Cold, hard cash. What's the idea of biting down on that? Well, he wants to see if that's the real deal or not. I don't want to counterfeit. By the way, if you could bite it and bend it, what would it be? You gave me a slug. Okay? You gave me a piece of tin. It's not worth anything. So the idea of approved, accepted, means that which is genuine. that which is the real deal versus that which is a counterfeit or false or fake. Now, let's go back to Romans 16 verse 10. If God in heaven in the Bible used your name and said, approved in Christ, would that mean anything to you? I thought about when I was reading this verse in Romans 16. Obviously, this person was a living person, Apelles. When he read that or had it read to him, it says, salute Apelles, approved in Christ. I wonder what he would think of that. You think he thought it was embarrassing? You thought it was, you know, well, I wish you hadn't have said that. To be called approved in Christ is a compliment, isn't it? One of the highest compliments you could be paid in the Bible. By the way, that doesn't mean that the rest of the people in Romans 16 weren't approved in Christ. Sometimes Paul calls them my fellow helpers, fellow laborers, fellow servants, so forth. But this expression is quite unique in the Bible. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of passages, Old and New Testament, that have to do with this concept. So I'll give you some of the Old Testament passages, and I don't know necessarily that we'll read every one of these, but these are passages where this word approved, accepted, are found. And they're not always translated that way. They're translated in different ways. In Genesis 23 and verse 16, this is when Abraham contracts with the people of the land for a burial site for Sarah, who had died. And he's going to buy this particular place called the Cave of Machpelah, but a gentleman that owned that cave wanted to give it to Abraham. And Abraham wasn't going to say, no, you're not going to give it to me. I'm going to buy it from you. How much is it worth? How much do you take for it? And of course, he says it's worth 400 shekels of silver. And the Bible says then that Abraham, before the men of the city, they took a scale and he measured out 400 shekel of silver. And then here's the expression. This is King James Version, current money of the merchant. Current money of the merchant. That meant, according to the standard of the local merchants, this is exactly what the measure should be. No more, no less. In other words, we'd call this was a fair deal. Okay? Abraham wasn't trying to cheat him. He wasn't trying to, you know, take advantage of him. It's like, if this is what you ask for, I'm going to give you equal to what it is you ask for. It's in that word, approved. This was acceptable in the trade and the bargain of that Cave of Machpelah and the land around it. In 2 Chronicles 9 and verse 17, you find this word again, but it's not translated again approved or accepted or even current according to the merchant. It says of Solomon that he built a throne made out of ivory. And then it said he overlaid it or put over the top of this ivory chair pure gold. And it's in the word pure that you find this term. What do you mean by pure gold? How many of you remember about ivory soap? 99.9% pure. By the way, where is that 0.1% then in ivory soap? 100% pure. Well, the idea is what? This is something that's not a counterfeit. This is what we say it is, and therefore it is. In Psalm 12 and verse 6, it says, the word of the Lord is pure, and it emphasizes the fact it's like silver that has been refined. It says, purified 7 times. How pure is the word of God? It's like silver you put in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. How many of you have ever heard of overkill? Doing something over. Why do you keep doing this over and over and over? It's like, I'm going to wash clothes. Well, how many times are you going to wash those clothes? Well, this is just the 6th time. I got one more time to wash them. Well, didn't it work the first time? Well, that might satisfy some folks, but that doesn't satisfy me. Well, you've washed it 6 now. Don't you reckon it'll be threadbare? Someone said, well, you're OCD about that. No, this is the standard. How pure is the word of God? It is though you've put it in the fire, and every time it comes out, it shows you exactly the genuineness of it, as though it's been purified seven times. By the way, not that it actually has to go through all those trials. Look at just the history of our world. From the Garden of Eden unto now, how many times has the Word of God been challenged? How many times? And how many times has the Word of God come out to be true? How many times? Every time, right? You would think if it's been tested by all of these people and all these generations and all these centuries, that somebody would find the chink in the armor. They'd find the fault in it. No. Just keep on trying. Just keep on needling it. Keep on picking it. Keep trying to find something wrong with it. And here's what you're going to find. The more you test it, the more you try it, all you're doing is just showing that it is what it is. It's like silver that's been put in a furnace of earth through the fire, purified seven times, and guess what? It's just as pure after you've put it through the test as the day it came out of the very mouth of God through his prophets. You go to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 10, talks about choice silver, choice gold. In other words, not something that's got dross in it, something when you put it through the test, it comes out even greater in value. Of course, you can read those verses on your own. We'll skip on to the next slide. Look at some outstanding passages in the New Testament that all use this word approved. That doesn't just say approved in Christ, but it means the same. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 21, a little short verse, it says, prove all things. Then it says, hold fast to that which is good. In other words, here's something that says it's good, claims it's good, all right? Let's take the Bible. This becomes the standard. James chapter 1 calls it a mirror, like you look at yourself in the mirror, and it shows you exactly what you are, who you are. So let's take the Bible. This is called good. Well, I know this is good. Okay? So I take what is claimed to be good, I compare it to the Bible, and if the Bible says it's good, it's approved of God. But what if I find something that is a claim to be good, but it doesn't measure up to the standard that is pure as though it's been purified seven times? What if it doesn't measure to that? Then what do? You don't hold to it. Prove all things, we would say, that claim to be good. By the way, if it's bad, is this going to tell you it's bad anyway? Yes. This is how you know the difference between what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad. Okay? So prove, test all things. Hold on to that when this has been the means to test, hold on to that which is good. Very, very basic. Very important. Isn't that what the Bereans did in Acts 17:11, even to Paul's words? Search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so true, good. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 13, here's quite an interesting passage. It has to do with a person's Christian life. It denotes the concept of a person's activities as a child of God and how that testing of life or trials of life have a way of showing us how we're doing here. Look at verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Manifest means it'll be put out here to where everyone can see it, you in particular. For the day, notice, the day shall declare it. What day are you talking about? Well, obviously the judgment day declares all things, right? But this is not talking about the judgment day in my judgment. It's talking about a particular day in a person's lifetime, while they're still alive. Notice, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is, whether it's gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. Now, if you put gold and silver and precious stones through the fire, what do you get when the fire's out or you're through the fire? It's still gold, silver, and precious stones, isn't it? Fire doesn't destroy that. What do you do if your product is wood, hay, or stubble? What does a fire do with wood, hay, and stubble? It's ashes, right? It's worthless. So what is this verse teaching? I'm a Christian. Okay, let's test that. Let's test that. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials. I'm supposed to pray for trials, knowing that the trial of your faith works patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James 1, 2 to 4. By the way, that's another one of those 40 verses in there. The trying, the approving of your faith, putting your faith to the fire. Someone says, Lord, why are you letting us being persecuted? Why are you letting these bad things happen out here? I'm going to show the world what you're made of. I'm going to show you that you really are what you claim to be to the world. I know you are, but how does the world know that? Put them to the test. Job, in the book of Job, was Job a very, very good man at the beginning of the book of Job? Have you considered my servant Job? None like him in the earth. Perfect and upright man, one that fears God and shuns evil. What's Satan say about him? Does Job fear God for nothing? Look, you put a hedge about him. You protected him, a wall about him. You let me touch what he has. He'll curse you to your face. See, Satan's a liar, isn't he? And God says, I'll show you something about that man that I know, and I'm going to let the world know. You can put that man through the most severe fire, and the day will manifest it. I'll show you he's not just what I said he is. I'll show you I can make him even greater. I can make him even better than he is right now. How? Put him through the test. Our Christian life's that way. Well, God just don't love me. By the way, that's the sign of immaturity. Also, it can be a sign of selfishness. So put through the test. Put through the fire. Makes a better person out of you. Look at this statement that's made in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10. Where Paul says of the Philippian brethren, which by the way was a great congregation. They had fellowship with Paul from the beginning of their work there all the way up unto the current time. And Paul says that you may approve the things that are excellent. That's what the King James says. American Standard says that you may approve the things that differ. In other words, that you can tell the difference between what is right and what is wrong. In other words, you, through your actions, through the Bible and through your actions, through your discernment, are able to say, now, this is good, and this is better, and this is best. By the way, I don't think so much as Christians we have so much trouble understanding the idea of thou shalt not and thou shalt, or what is not to be and what is to be in our life. Sometimes it's more priorities, isn't it? This is good, this is better, but this is the best. See, the Christian doesn't settle for mediocrity, middle of the road. You want that which is of the supremest quality. Oh, have you ever gone to a restaurant and someone bragged about that restaurant to you and said, man, it's the greatest steak in this town? Okay, by the way, what's your expectations if you've never been there if you go? Now, my friend recommended it. My friend said this is the greatest steak in the entire town. And you sit down, automatically, can your expectations cause you to do something? Hey, how many of you have ever gone into a restaurant and said, well, I wasn't expecting much, and I got exactly what I went in here and found? Okay, well, what are you expecting in a worship service? What is your expectation this morning? What is your expectation of God in your life? By the way, here's a better question. What is your expectation of you in service to God? I think that's a better question. Because sometimes expectations don't measure out to reality, right? So it says, approving, putting things to the test that differ. Things that are more excellent. We're not talking about making a C or making a B. We're talking about excellent. Excellent is the word for making straight A's. Approve the things that are excellent. By the way, our God is an A-plus God, right? across the board. Look at 2 Corinthians 13. Matter of fact, there are three verses here that Paul uses, the Holy Spirit through Paul uses this particular chapter to talk about his critics. How that some were basically arguing, in fact, number one, he wasn't an apostle of Christ, and number two, he wasn't really a genuine Christian. The very idea you could read chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians and find out that Paul failed the test as a Christian. All of what he went through, all of what he continued to go through, all of what he would ultimately go through to the end of his life. Notice verse 3. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to youward is not weak but is mighty in you. Think of that a minute. Some at Corinth, are you really an apostle of Christ? Is Christ really speaking through you? He says, you're looking for a proof from me? By the way, what's Paul's track record with the church at Corinth? Before Paul got to Corinth in Acts 18, was there a congregation there? Now, there was a synagogue there. Was there a congregation of the Lord's people in Corinth before Paul got there? That answer is no. No. When Paul leaves Corinth, is there a congregation at Corinth? That answer is yes. So who does this congregation owe its start from? Well, it owes it from God. But who was the mouthpiece of God? Who were the hands and the feet of God in their midst? It was this man right here. And then years ago, down the road, someone's going to say, well, he wasn't even really an apostle of Christ. You're seeking a proof that Christ speaks through me? They're saying I'm weak. Go back and read chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. Let's say, his speech is weighty, but his bodily presence is contemptible. That's an apostle? Look at that. That's an apostle? By the way, isn't it easy to judge by outward appearances? Because that's what they were doing. Now then, look at verse 4. For though he was crucified through weakness, by the way, he's not talking about him, he's talking about Christ. Though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak. We are weak. We are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. In other words, I spoke by revelation, by inspiration. You know what I gave you was the word of God. You obeyed that. You were baptized. You have become a child of God. And now you're questioning, some are questioning, that I'm even working for the Lord. So now he comes to verse 5. Watch this passage. This is in the context of this very statement. He says, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves. Isn't that strange? That here's somebody questioning Paul, the genuineness of this man. And then Paul turns around and says, examine your own self. Check your own self. By the way, you know before we take the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11:28 says to do what? So let a man examine himself, right? By the way, that concept is in the same word approved. Put yourself to the test. Note, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Did they not obey the gospel through Paul's preaching? Sure they did. Is it possible to obey the gospel and start leaving the faith? Read Galatians 1:6. I marvel you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. Is it possible to lose your faith, give up your faith by choice? Note the next line. Prove your own selves. Put yourself to the test here. I would challenge all of us to do that. Why do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Why? I didn't say do you, I said why. Well, because mom and daddy believe it. It's not good enough. Let me tell you something. A lot of kids believe what their parents believe, and these kids believe what their parents believe because their parents are atheists. It's good enough for mom and daddy, it's good enough for me. You ever heard that? This is what I believe because this is what my folks believe. This is what we've always believed. By the way, you can call Jesus Lord, Lord, and not enter into the kingdom of heaven too. Matthew 7:21. I got to know why I believe what I believe and what I believe. Does it measure up to the crucible here? The Bible. Prove your own selves. And then he says, know ye not your own selves. By the way, that word know is an interesting word too in the original. It means to fully know. To fully know. There's a reason why in education they give tests. Now, I'm not a big fan of certain kinds of tests. I thought some of them were just, you know, trying to compare this to this. And, you know, the whole idea behind it is, what makes you sure that this person's so much smarter than this one? By the way, we're all ignorant in something. I don't care what level of education we have or what our GPA was or if you graduated summa cum laude and whatever. We're all ignorant in something. There's only one that knows everything, and that's God. But the idea behind a test is what? Well, I see you staring in the room at me and sort of staying awake and so forth. Let's see if you've retained anything you've been taught. Here's a sheet of paper. Answer these questions. I don't like tests, kid says. Well, I don't like grading them either. I don't like giving them, but this is how we evaluate. By the way, that's not just in the public education system either, right? Or private education. Anybody else in here got a job where tests are required? All over the map in this room, right? You don't get away from it. Why is there constant need of evaluation so you know where you are? Like, where are you right now in your Christian life? And how do you know where you are if you're never tested? How do you know? If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. That's what Proverbs 26 and verse 10 says. How do you know you're strong or you're weak in the day of adversity? You find out. You find it out in athletics, don't you? You find it out in economics, don't you? You find it out in the strength of your marriage or the strength of your relationships with your neighbors, strength with your Lord. When God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. By the way, how do you prove that? By the way, you say, well, you don't prove God. Yeah, you do. Romans 12:2 says you do. Be not conformed to this world, but you transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me tell you something. God's not afraid to be proven. He will come out approved every time. Now prove him. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. By the way, when you get through, you'll be right back there at God's throne. That's where you'll go. Oh, try your neighbors. Try your friends. Try Dear Abby. Try everybody. Here's where you're ultimately going to end up. Before the throne of God. Otherwise, that's where you should have started to begin with, and therefore it saved you a lot of grief and time and energy. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves? Watch this. That Jesus Christ is in you? Don't you know you're a Christian? Trust me. The critics may tell me I've lost my mind. The critics may say, you're not a real apostle of Christ. You're not even a real child of God. Let them criticize. I know. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded he is able to keep what I have committed unto him against that day. I know. I have put myself through the test. He's put me through the test. When I get to the end of my life, I can say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Now, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Isn't it interesting for those of us that have been Christians any length of time how God works through the Christian's life over years, decades? Look, folks, God knows us better than we'll ever know ourselves. The reason for test is not so that God can know about us. The reason for test is so we can learn about ourselves. Jesus said to Peter one night, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired you to sift you like wheat. And I've prayed for you that your faith fail not." Now, when you are converted, what? Converted? That's right. When you're converted, when you get over this problem you're dealing with right now, "I'll never die. I won't deny you. I'll die with you." When you get over that, and it won't take you long to figure this out, that you're not as strong as you think you are, when you get over that, now you go strengthen the brethren. Because you'll get it now. Folks, you can sit down with your children all day long and talk to them about sacrifices that you paid for your children being born and growing up and so forth. When all of a sudden your baby girl tells you, "He didn't go to sleep until 5 a.m. the other night." Is that surprising to me? He finally went to sleep at 5 a.m. First night home, out of the hospital. Sun's about to come up before he went to sleep. I told her, "Welcome to the real world. Welcome." I mean, she didn't want to hear that. I'm sure she didn't want to hear that. But guess what? Young folks, if you don't learn it from the wisdom and the experience of your parents, let me tell you something. This world out here you live in, it will tell you something. The question is whether you're smart enough to learn that lesson. Daddy said it would be that way. And as bad as I hate to say it, you are right. Well, I'm not here to hear you are right. This is not an ego boost with me. I already knew I was right. You're telling me I'm right doesn't mean I know now that I'm right. What I needed to know is that you knew that. That I wasn't just talking. Listen, when God says, "You follow this lifestyle right here, it will destroy you." Well, it might do some folks that way. It won't do me that way. All right. Get out there in the far country. Let the far country teach you. By the way, I'll still be here, ready for you when you come back. And I won't say I told you so. That's not my job. But I'll be here when you come back. Did the prodigal learn that lesson? He's smart, right? I'm not saying he lived a life he didn't regret. You know, there's things probably he wanted to turn back the time clock and say, "Wished I hadn't gone there." Well, it's too late. You did. You see, the lesson in life is don't stay out there. Smart is when he came to himself. I get it now. If I go back home to my father, that is wisdom. And he did. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, that the trying of your faith, though it be more precious than gold, is tried with fire. that you might have what? Glory and honor, praise, honor, and glory in the day of the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trying of your faith. It works patience. It works endurance. Let it work endurance. That when you've gone through the fire, you come out purified 7 times as a choice metal. God does not hate us when bad things happen to good people. God says, "We'll make something out of you. We'll make something out of you. I'm going to make something out of you. You don't even know what that end product's going to be. Now let me do it." It's interesting to watch Benjamin and Daniel now that they're having their families and watch them go through what they were told all along. This is what you're looking at. This is what you're looking at. This is what you're looking at. And all of a sudden you see it. The light comes on. And then you look at Hannah's like, "Oh, I'm different from my brothers." Yeah, right. Right. We are all the same. From the pulpit to the back pew. Now the question is, in the end of time, and even now, can it be said of me, "Salute Jimmy Clark, approved in Christ." Approved in Christ. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's the exhortation. Learn how this works. Learn how to accurately study it, the Bible. And in turn, work this in your faith. Let faith and its works produce that which is to the saving of the soul. If you're subject here today to become a child of God, believing that Christ is the Son of God, that's in the Bible, John 3:16. Turning away from a life of sin, knowing that you've crucified that old man, Romans 6:6. That godless are that works repentance unto salvation, 2 Corinthians 7:10. Confess with your mouth the faith you have, that you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whosoever shall confess me before my Father, I'll confess before my Father, Matthew 10:32. Be baptized into Christ. You're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, as many of you have been baptized into Christ. Have put on Christ, Galatians 3:26-27. Or, like that great passage in Revelation, "Be thou faithful unto death, I give you the crown of life." James 1:12 says, "Blessed are they which are tempted." Blessed are those that are tempted. Why? "For when they are tried, you may be found approved." Approved. This promise of the crown of life which God has promised to them that love him. If you're subject to heaven's invitation, needing the prayers of the church, obviously to obey the gospel, won't you then come? While together, we stand and sing.